Jesus was an incredible teacher. He captivated the hearts and the minds of people who heard him. And his teaching always elicited, I think, a response from people. Some kind of response. Response of wanting to hear more. Response of powerful insight for some, and others, it made them angry what Jesus said, but everything he said, because it was deep truth, had an impact on people. He taught by his example. He led by example. He led in the attitude toward people that God wants us to have. He has so many things. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray.' And so Jesus did. He took the time to speak to his disciples and the crowd around him and teach them some deep things about what it means to be connected to God in prayer. Both in Luke chapter 11 and Matthew chapter 6, we have what we call, and you've heard all your life, called the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. It is a beautiful expression of heaven and earth coming together. I want to say this morning, as we look and we think about the Lord's Prayer and lead into a time of communion, I want to invite you to listen to the words of Jesus and the meaning, the deep meaning of what Jesus said to his disciples about prayer, how special and important and precious prayer is in our relationship to God, and why Jesus said the things that he did in Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 11. I want to invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. If you have a Bible, you want to use one in front of you, and want to ask you this morning to consider the depth and the meaning of what Jesus said about prayer and why it's so important for us to understand and learn how to pray. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen of men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins." There are about five things that I want to highlight about the Lord's Prayer this morning. The first thing that comes to my mind in these words is that God deeply cares about our prayer life. God deeply cares about our prayer life. God knows that prayer is a cord of communication between heaven and earth. And God has given us many gifts in the world that he's given us. But one of those gifts, and a very precious gift, and a very important gift, is your prayer life to him. Your responsiveness to God in prayer. Your attentiveness to seeking the heart of God in prayer. There's something about prayer that's found all throughout the Bible that shows us this connection that God has given us with him. There are many ways that we connect to God, but prayer might be the thing that we read about the most in the Bible as the way that we can connect to the heart of God. Do you really want to know God's Spirit in your life? If you really want to hear from God, if you really want God to be speaking to your situation and who you are and where you're at, then consider how important the words that Jesus gives us in this chapter is about your prayer life. Prayer is a way that you express that you care about the heart of God. Prayer is a way that you say, "God, I want to hear from you. I want to know what you think. I want you in my life." Prayer is an expression from us that we want to hear from the heart of God. Prayer is a way to bridge the gap between the seen and the unseen, between that physical world that we live in and that spiritual world that we try to understand and we also live in. Prayer truly is a great gift from God, and Jesus takes time here to tell us about how important prayer is, how important it is that we have a heart that's seeking God, that there's something from us that God wants. We talk about how grace is kind of a one-way gift of God, and it is. It's a free gift. God offers salvation. He offers relationship, but it's completely up to you whether you respond to that offer or not. It's completely up to you whether or not you respond to all the things that God offers and has for you in your life. It's completely up to you whether you accept the grace of God, whether you accept the truth of God, whether you accept that God wants to speak into your life about issues in your life. It's up to you. God can help you with every issue in your life. There's not a single thing, a single problem that you can have in your life that God cannot and will not and does not want to help you with. The question is, is your heart seeking Him? Is your heart open to Him? Prayer is one way that we say to God, God, I need You. I want You. I can't make it without You. There's something, God, that only You can give to my heart and my life and my problems and who I am. And seeking God in prayer, Jesus tells us in chapter 6, is a way to connect to a God who knows our needs and cares deeply about everything going on in our lives. He wants to be connected to us. So Jesus gives us some important insight into the heart of God and prayer. Three things I notice here in this verse that I want to highlight right here that Jesus says. One thing I see three times He says it. He says, beginning in verse 5, and when you pray. I just kind of notice as an aside, three times He says in these verses, when you pray. Doesn't say if you pray, or that moment when things are going so bad in your life that you cry out. Sometimes that needs to happen. But when you pray, as if God is saying through Jesus in here that in that continuous part of your life, that continuous part of how you understand God and spiritual things, you're in a continuous attitude of prayer to God. Every part of your day is wanting to be connected to God. Whether you're saying words or you're thinking them or feeling them, God cares about that continuous part of your life. If you think of your Christianity as a Sunday morning experience and then that kind of goes on a shelf somewhere, it has no way to help you with the issues of life. Jesus says, when you pray, He says it again later, when you pray, Jesus is affirming the importance of a continuous prayer life before God. God is interested in that 24-hour relationship with you. If it's just 2 hours a week, or if it's just 2 minutes a day, or even if it's just 2 hours a day and the other 22 really kind of exclude His voice from your heart and your life, then you miss out on what God wants to help you with in your life. Not if you pray, but when you pray. According to verse 11, also Jesus is speaking about daily prayer. When you pray. And then verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. God is telling us to call out to Him every day for our needs. Every day should be a day that we come before God and acknowledge who He is. Every day, every part of the day, we acknowledge the greatness of God. That God can do something for us that nobody else can do and we can't do for ourselves. God wants that continuous connection with you and your heart and your spirit. Prayer is a great gift from God. Our motivation is to hear the heart of God, to respond to Him, that communication that's flowing both ways so that we sense that God's moving and leading us and guiding us. Our motivation also in prayer, Jesus says here, is not to be seen of men. Prayer is between you and God. It certainly takes place in a community, and there's also a great number of things Jesus says here about the importance of community. But your prayer life and your heart, you're accountable to God. You're not accountable to your pastor. You're really not accountable to your spouse. You're not accountable to a Sunday school teacher or your parents, teenagers. You're not accountable to anybody but God about who you are in relationship to God. That's where you're accountable. And Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. There's an accountability that Jesus is affirming in His teaching here. God hears your prayers. I also notice that the emphasis Jesus makes and comes to my mind is on our relationship and how we understand God when we pray. What do we see God? How do we see God? How does Jesus see God? And we know that he says here, and many times throughout the Gospels, this is one of those core things I think about the teaching of Jesus that's good for us to think about and hold on to. How does Jesus describe God? He says, "Our Father which art in heaven." Our Father. Jesus describes God as the Heavenly Father. And he uses that term throughout the Scriptures. Father, 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 Heavenly Father, My Father, Our Father. Jesus reminds us many times here who God is. God's our Heavenly Father. The kind of one who loves and looks down with care, who's involved in our lives and cares about everything going on in our lives. Our Heavenly Father, full of love and care for us. It's good to be reminded when we pray that we're praying to our Father. We're praying to an infinite, awesome, eternal God who knows everything. He knows everything about us, past, present, and future. He knows everything about the things that are going on in our lives, past, present, and future. Our Father which art in heaven. I want you to know that there's a Heavenly Father today who sees you and wants to be connected to your life. Jesus' teaching on prayer, and especially in the Lord's Prayer, reminds us of how important it is to see God as our Heavenly Father, that He loves us with a great fatherly love. 6 times just in these verses, in this section that I read, Jesus uses the word and describes God as Father. That's the best way Jesus can give us and help us to understand God's care for us, a loving Heavenly Father. That's a theme throughout the New Testament as well. Not just in here, but Jesus used that term many times in the 4 Gospels and then throughout the New Testament. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Behold, the love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God." You understand Jesus saying, it's okay to come to your Father. It's all right. He wants you to come. Those of us that are parents and those of us that are grandparents know how delightful it is when our children or our grandparents want to come to us, how we want to hear them, want to hear what they're feeling and how they see life and how much more infinitely the Father of heaven, eternal and infinite, wants to be connected to your life and mine. That's who we're to come to day after day. Father, Father, loving Heavenly Father. Verse 6 says, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father." There's something here that comes to my heart and mind that God says, take your problems to the Father. Take your life to the Father. Take your priorities to the Father. Take your life choices to the Father. Take your broken relationships to the Father. Take your dreams to the Father in heaven. He's waiting and He's listening. This is how Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. We also know that God hears every prayer that's prayed. Verse 6 tells us, if I read on from there, "Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." I believe that God hears every prayer that's uttered from the heart. I don't understand how that's possible. I sure don't understand how God can be connected to 6 billion people. And I mean, it's hard enough to be connected to 35 or 40 people in a meaningful way, but how God can do that. But God hears every single prayer. He knows He knows your heart. He knows your heart. He knows your faith. He knows when you're reaching out to Him. He knows if you're just going through the motions. He knows what you need. And He will answer you. He will speak to you. He will be close to you. He will help you. All throughout the Bible, we're reminded of how God listens to those that call out to Him. One of my favorite verses is, "He who cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out." I want you to know that if you come with a heart in faith seeking God, He'll hear your heart. He'll hear your need. God responds to your heart. Verse 8 tells us something else about the heart of the Father that I think is absolutely beautiful. Verse 8, probably the one that I've kind of been keyed on and focused on and thinking about for about 5 weeks since I chose these words today for us to look at. Verse 8 tells us that God already knows what we need. That's very beautiful. The purpose of prayer is not to inform God. He already knows. Verse 8 says, "Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." I want you to know today that God already knows what you need. He already knows what you're facing. He already knows what's going on in your life. It's not like He's caught off guard and He's surprised by things going on in your life. He already knows it. He's waiting for you to come to Him and say, "Father, help me. Father, teach me. Father, show me. Father, guide me. Father, I put myself in your hands." This for me is at the very heart, maybe the middle or the core of understanding the importance of prayer. That God already knows what you need. It's not an issue of convincing God. It's an issue of you coming to Him and in faith asking Him to meet needs in your life. Prayer is an expression of faith in who God is, and that God is sovereign, and that God truly is what the Bible says about Him. Prayer is expressing our faith in God. Faith causes God to act somehow. When we exhibit faith, it somehow affects what God does. I don't understand that either of a sovereign God, but throughout the Bible we have many examples of it, and we're told to pray and that God is moved and God acts. And when we pray, things happen and things change. And I don't know the key to and all that to the puzzle, but it's true. God seems to act and react and somehow change things based on the prayers of God's people. I don't know how and I don't know when, but I know that's true. I know that God acts. I know that God hears our prayers. And in some ways, when we call out to God, God intercedes in our lives. Prayer is asking God to act on our faith. Prayer is saying, "God, I believe in You. I trust in You. I'm putting my confidence in You. God, would Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Would Your will be done in my life? Would You help me to know what I should do?" Look at the words that Jesus uses to describe how we ask God for help. I wrote down four words here. "Give us," verse 11. "Forgive us," verse 12. "Lead us," verse 14. "Deliver us." All those are not, I mean, you could look at them in the Greek and the language as requests, but really they're demand statements. It's like saying, "God, I'm coming before You and I'm taking Your word. I'm claiming what You told me to. I'm calling out to You to meet my needs." You notice the focus on commitment, or the focus on these four requests. A word is common to all of them, and that's us. There's something about community here too. When we pray, we pray to God. We're accountable to God. But there's something about the importance of community when Jesus taught His disciples to pray. In fact, that word's found throughout here too. "This then is how you should pray. Our Father," not "my Father," "I." I notice the next one. "Give us today our daily bread," not "give me my daily bread." There's something about how we're to pray that's inclusive of the people in our lives and around us. It's inclusive of our brothers and sisters. Our prayer life should be bathed with a sense of love and care for people around us when we pray. When we pray for needs, we're not just praying for us. It's like we're praying for God's whole kingdom to be done all around us. "Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation." I see that word "us" there, and I'm wondering, why didn't Jesus say, when you pray, say, "My Father in heaven, forgive me, lead me"? He doesn't. It's us. There's something about a prayer life that's focused on meeting the needs of people around us that pleases the heart of God as well. God already knows every one of us. The first request, "Give us our daily bread," God already knows your physical needs. The next request, He knows our frailties and our failings and our shortcomings. "Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven are debtors. God is so aware of how frail we can be. God is so aware of how we can get off track so easily. He's so aware of our hurts and our pains and our problems in our lives. Not only our physical needs, you might call them our emotional needs. God is so aware of our feelings and what we deal with, and how forgiveness is such at the core of who we are, the ability to forgive people that hurt us. I think of Jesus' words about forgiveness in other places, and I realize right here in the middle of the Lord's Prayer is His words about forgiving people. And then at the end of the prayer, He goes back to the subject of forgiving people. I tell you, forgiveness has to be at the core of what we believe about who God is. The ability to forgive, the choice to forgive. God already knows that we need forgiveness, that we're imperfect. And He knows that we've got to have that attitude of us. We've got to have that attitude of we're a part of something bigger than just us. And so when we pray for forgiveness, we're praying not only for my forgiveness, we're praying for my brother's forgiveness too. We're praying that God can somehow forgive the person beside me and behind me and around me, the person that hurt me in my life. God already knows our physical needs. He knows that need for forgiveness. He knows our emotional needs. As we forgive those who trespass against us, He knows our weaknesses. He knows where we're vulnerable. He knows where Satan will try to come and attack us. Every one of us have soft spots. Every one of us have vulnerable areas in our lives. And Jesus gets at the heart of that here at the end of the prayer, and lead us not into temptation. He says, pray that God will help you not to give in to temptation. You see, Jesus knows who we are. He knows the church. He knows you and me. He knows that though we like to think we've arrived and we've made it and we kind of got it all figured out and we're over everything we need to, He knows that it's an ongoing battle. Lead us not into temptation, He teaches us to pray, but deliver us from the evil one. Pray every day. You ought to pray every day. I ought to pray every day that God will deliver me from the one who wants to destroy me and my family, my life, my body, my ministry, my influence. Every day I need to come to Him and say, God, help me with that. Don't let me be caught unaware. Don't let me be so proud and lack humility that I just kind of don't, not even aware of what the evil one's doing. But God, today, I ask you today, deliver me from the evil one. I think part of why we struggle to Christian maturity is we're not willing to admit that we're frail and we're weak and we're vulnerable. God already knows what we need before we ask Him. The question isn't, does God know? The question is, do we realize how much we need Him? Are we willing to call out to Him? Prayer is about expressing our trust in an infinite, awesome, heavenly God who responds to faith. Then your Father, verse 6 says, who sees what is done in secret in the deepest places of your heart will reward you. Another highlight this morning is Jesus knows how important daily accountability is. I mentioned this a few minutes ago, how important daily accountability is in the body of Christ. I know, you know, we can get to that place of thinking we're already there and we really don't have a whole lot to worry about in our hearts and our attitude and our spirit. But, you know, Jesus, the great teacher, the insightful, deep teacher says, oh, don't think you can go one day on your own. Don't think you can go one day, not 24 hours on your own. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Today your kingdom come. Today your will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Today, God, help me to have a forgiving heart as I forgive others. Today, God, lead me not into temptation. Today, God, deliver me from the evil one. Every one of us needs that daily communion with God. When we get away from that, all kinds of things turn cold. All kinds of things inside us get hard. All kinds of attitudes start to a little root on the inside, and they start to build up. And there's just all kinds of things that can infect our living relationship with God when we don't have that sense of the importance of daily communion with God. It's that daily accountability that keeps us clean and flexible and moldable and teachable before God. Accountability. This should be a part of our daily lives. God, I need you today. Hear my spirit, speak to my heart. The Lord's Prayer. May God teach you and lead you, help you to be close to Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today that you meet our every need, that you know our needs from the very most simple physical needs to the deeper needs within the heart and the mind and the soul and our spirits. Lord God, your word is able to reach down and touch us wherever we're at. I pray that we would have the faith to listen to you, to seek you, and that every day, God, we would seek you and that we would hear your voice and your spirit in our lives. Help us to know, God, what a loving Heavenly Father you are. Thank you for sending Jesus to forgive us, to die for our sins, and we celebrate that life of Jesus in communion today. Would you pray with me this morning the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.